As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good evening, Swim World! It's the No Dunks Boys, back for a little NBA free agency roundup. It's 8:15 p.m. Eastern on Friday, June 30th. I'm not used to saying the time. I only tell you the date. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the yard. Alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Maybe you're checking the clock because I was late.
Yeah, what's going on? You all right over there?
Yeah, Friday dinner. I ain't letting Bruce Brown mess up my Friday dinner. No way.
His priorities are right. Family first, Bruce Brown second. And hey, that's the bearded one, Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey, yo.
We got JD in the background. We got Jerome in the background. Everybody helping out here tonight. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube. Yeah, we're a little late. Who cares? All that means is we're going to be on longer as more news comes in. So you're welcome. This has been a wild start here to free agency, a whole lot of signings. We're going to make our way through a lot of them. I will tell you, though, Saturday, July 8th, NBA Summer League meet and greet at the MGM Sportsbook and at the MGM Grand. The Sportsbook within the Grand. So Saturday, July 8th at 4 p.m. local time if you want to come see us and the Athletic NBA Show. Guys, there it is. All right. Fantastic. Hit the like button if you're joining us live. Let's get over 1,000 likes tonight, because everybody's pumped up. NBA teams committed over $1 billion in salaries over the first hour of free agency, guys. That's right. Put your pinkies to your lips.
$1 billion
in the first hour. And we had a lot of guys staying put, as expected. Let's start with Kyrie Irving and the Mavericks agreeing to a three-year $126 million deal. We got a player option on this one, Tass. But 3 years for Kyrie, not quite max, but 126. What do you think?
The Mavs made a big deal to get Kyrie, made this happen months ago. It felt like Kyrie was going to sign here. A little disappointed that we didn't get any reviews of the potential meetings Kyrie was going to have with other teams, though. That's the disappointing part. Was supposed to be with the Phoenix Suns. Was supposed to meet with the Houston Rockets, huh? So that's the disappointing part. We expected this, though. Although, yeah, the max part not happening, a little confusing. Don't really have an answer for that.
Yeah, while Kyrie had planned earlier in the day to take all these meetings with other teams about free agency, he decided that 3 years, $126 million, that was great. That was enough. Quote, we planned to take the meetings, but decided that Dallas would be our place. That's what his agent told CBS Sports, I saw on Twitter. So Trey, Kyrie, as expected, staying in Dallas for now.
Yeah, would have loved to have seen the pitch decks, but apparently the big time number, $42 million basically per season, is what did it. You know, Kyrie will likely be the highest paid free agent of this free agent class on a annual basis. And like Tass is saying, it's not quite a max, but it's still a number that you bring to Kyrie Irving with respect, getting the relationship off on a good foot, which honestly is something you have to be cognizant of with Kyrie, but I think pretty smart of the Mavs to not go for a full 5 years. So that's good on their part. Kyrie, I'm sure, is happy to get a player option in his third season of this deal, which is going to be interesting for the Mavericks, but it kind of feels like every season is a player option for Kyrie Irving. So who cares if it's in year three or year one or year two?
I would say every month, every game is a player option for a guy like Kyrie Irving. But yeah, he is staying there in Dallas. I'll keep moving with some pace, but if you guys have more to say about a particular player and signing, jump in, because we have so much here to get through. Our next deal has another star staying with his team, and it is Chris Middleton and the Bucks agreeing to a 3-year, $102 million deal. And yes, he has a player option as well. Anytime we note player option, of course, that's in the final year. Trey, you can get us started on this one. Chris Middleton for $102, 3 years. Not too bad, I would say.
Yeah, I think this is about what we were expecting, and it feels like player options are going to be flying around like crazy for a lot of these contracts. Just a good way to get somebody to agree, and maybe just the landscape has changed in the next couple of seasons. Maybe you're worried about the Middleton contract as the years go on, but the Bucks obviously value continuity. He's been there, won a championship with Giannis. He's his second most important player alongside Jrue Holiday on the Bucks on the offensive end especially. So once he was sitting there with Adrian Griffin, and once the Bucks were out of the Bradley Beal sweepstakes, it was kind of a done deal that Middleton was going to be coming back, and this is a pretty fair number for him.
Chris Middleton, yeah, 34, opting out of a $40 million option a little while ago. I think everybody's happy here. I assume the Bucks know that Chris Middleton is fully healthy. And I just mentioned that because he had a bit of a cleanup surgery on that same knee that bothered him last year. But he did end the season well. He went into the postseason, and they did just sort of ramp him up. And we're talking about, as Trey said, Giannis' number two guy. He has to be playing at an all-star level for them to be a championship team. They have experience with turning guys rehabilitating guys from injury like Brook Lopez. And so I just bring that up because, that surgery was a little perplexing. But at the same time, you look at this number. He was there, along with Giannis Antetokounmpo doing all the coach interviews and got Adrian Griffin on board. And everybody seemed to be, kosher with that. Now we just got to get Brook Lopez signed up. But that's still TBD, but looks like they are bringing the boys back for one more run. Just Brooke, it's Brooke's turn now.
Yeah, I have no problems with the obviously years here, the money that he got, especially when he took less, could have opted in for that 40-plus, like you said. My only concern with Middleton, especially after the injuries and him getting up in age, is how good is he defensively still? Not worried about his shooting, not worried about his scoring. I don't think that's going to leave him anytime soon, but he appeared over the last little bit, and it might be injury related to or age related, that he's slipped a little bit defensively. This guy, I think, for a long time was one of the most underrated sort of perimeter defenders in the league, but that's gone away a little bit. So, for them to like compete for another championship, they'd be ecstatic if he got back to those older levels on the defensive end. But otherwise, we weren't surprised by this one, nor this one, which I think was the first news of the free agency kickoff here at 6 p.m. Eastern, and that is Draymond Green and the Warriors agreeing to a 4-year, $100 million deal. Maybe the surprising part, Tass, you tell me, was the player option that Draymond Green has in that fourth year. What do you think about Draymond for 4 and 100?
This is a very much a respect contract. 4 years, 100 mil, pay Dre till he's 37 years of age. I don't think the player option was the surprising part, but the fourth year was a bit surprising. I mean, he's being extended, obviously years past Klay Thompson here. So that part's a little surprising. Mike Dunleavy Jr. in his new role, doing Draymond right here, doing Steph right by getting him signed. All that chatter about the Kings, a pile of hooey. They got him, and an annual number that's totally fine. It's lower than some, even I expected, around that 30 mil mark. So at 25, shouldn't hamper them too much. Bringing the boys back for another run, but four is kind of surprising. I mean, he's going to be pretty old at the end of this thing.
Yeah, Slater has the breakdown at The Athletic, Anthony Slater. The first-year salary on Draymond Green's new four-year extension, $22.3 million. So quite low. That was a negotiation key for the Warriors, wrote Slater. His declined player option was for $27.6 million. So this slices that projected repeater tax bill by somewhere around $40-plus million, just like coming to this new agreement with Draymond Green. So, TK, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it was Draymond scratching the Warriors' back and the Warriors scratching Draymond's back here. He saved him money on the luxury tax payments early on, so they give him a player option at the end of this contract that coincides with Steph Curry's contract being up, right? So if Draymond and Steph decide at the end of Steph's deal, it's over. Draymond can go and find another contract or hop on with somebody else, perhaps for that fourth season. So yeah, four for 100, $25 million per season. And like you're saying, it's broken down different year by year. That's completely fine. We're talking about Vucevic. We're talking about Poeltl making $20 million per year. Draymond is one of the best defenders in the league and obviously a key part of the Warriors dynasty. It is a little bit of a thank you contract as well. The dude's earned it. So I'm happy for him.
Another guy staying put. Kyle Kuzma and the Wizards agreeing to a four-year, $102 million deal. So this was one of the guys that a lot of us thought, oh, he might be on the move. You know, he's on the list of a lot of people's available free agents, could go somewhere. You know, was it going to be the Kings? Was it going to be the Pacers? Was it going to be some other team? Maybe the Rockets. And in the end, he gets sort of the bag here from Washington, Trey, for 4 years, $102 million. I honestly thought he might get more. So, you know, this wasn't that crazy to me in the end, you know, basically 25 and a half mil.
And it's kind of funny to think when Kuzma was not dealt at the deadline, we thought, oh, okay, he's just going to come back to Washington. But then when he opted out of his deal, we're like, oh, he's going to get a big deal somewhere. Maybe the Kings will do it. Maybe he'll be the one to take all the money from the Houston Rockets. But the simplest thing won out. He's just going back to Washington, where we might see the most hilarious team in the NBA. Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma fighting each other to see who can take the most shots per game. But this is fine. $25.5 million a year, that's a tradable contract. So we're going to be talking Kuzma at every single trade deadline. He might be the new John Collins here, the way he's going to come up every single year, time after time, as somebody a contender could take on, as somebody an up-and-coming team could take on. So we haven't heard the last of Kyle Kuzma trade rumors, I don't think.
I do hope we get a Carlton Will Smith end-of-the-game scenario where they're fighting over the ball, Poole and Kuzma. Shot. They should just replicate that scene just for the memes and the GIFs and the tweets that it would generate. Tass, thoughts on Kuz?
Definitely a contract that will be traded down the line. It sure feels like.
He won't finish his time in Washington this 4 years? No
way. And when you look at their roster construction for this season, we've talked about how they have to get to that 90% of the salary cap number before opening night. And so they have to pay somebody. So this is a smart move to have him on the roster and to be able to turn him into an asset a little bit later on, because they're not paying anybody after trading Bradley Beal. They do have Poole under contract, but they have such small deals behind Jordan Poole that this makes sense. And yeah, looking at it sort of altogether as an aggregate, what they got for Beal and then Chris Paul, what they got for Porzingis, and now what they'll get for Kuzma, maybe it'll be a little bit more decent at the end of the day.
We're already good. Trading Kyle Kuzma, oh, yeah. The guy just signed today. It's not even official.
He's done. Yeah. There's
incredible.
No way.
Who's going to score more? Who's going to score more on the Wizards next year, Poole or Kuzma per game?
100% Poole. Poole, 100%.
100% Poole?
Yeah.
I might take that bet with you. You want to make a Wizards scoring bet?
I'll take that. I'll take a virtual
bet. All right, sure. Why not?
That's good.
It's a good pick. Trey, where would you go if you had to pick one or the other? Poole, Kuzma, they have to play 65 games. It's in the CBA.
To qualify,
for
of
all
course,
bets.
Yes.
Who scored more?
I got to go Poole. I think he has the ball more often.
Okay.
But Skeets, you'll be loving it every time you see Kyle Kuzma just grab the ball off the glass on the defensive end, because you know he ain't passing it when he brings it up. So just get that shot up. You got to hope he averages 10 boards a game.
The guy already averaged, what, 21.5 points per game? With two other guys that scored over 20 points per game? Now it's just down to one other guy.
There we go.
Why can't Kuz go for 27 a game? Why not, I say.
Poole came off the bench. The game winners with Kyle Kuzma don't count as 10 points. Like he'll hit plenty of game winners. He seems like he hits more big shots. That's for sure.
He also seems like he shoots like 40% from three, but he's not even close.
No.
All right. The other big name that is staying put, Jeremy Grant, sticking in Portland, agreeing to a 5-year, $160 million deal. Tass, were you shocked at all by the numbers with this one, with Jeremy Grant in Portland?
Well, you betcha. Definitely shocked with that big a number, 32 per year. And then you look at it, as we've talked about in the Classic Factory, the way the new TV deal is going to break down, will $32 million be all that much for a very, very good, almost borderline all-star? I won't even call him a borderline all-star. I'll call him an almost borderline all-star because it feels like that's what Jeremy
He's almost on the borderline.
Yeah. I mean, he was in discussions.
Convincing.
So it's not all that much, and it is a tradable contract as well if it goes in that direction, which it could in Portland. But it feels like a lot. But him, it's still in his prime. I guess it's not a guy who will always play both ends. And somebody would want him. Like, we just saw what Harrison Barnes signed for at 18 per. I know it's far less, but they're sort of in the same category, even though Jeremy Grant's a better player, better overall scorer. It's like you'd want them both on your team in any instance. And I think the 30 it's not going to look as terrible as it does right this second.
It pays to be Damian Lillard's friend.
No doubt.
That's what I thought when I saw this one. Jeez. Wow. I gotta become buddies with Dame.
But what was his last contract? His last contract was also, fairly juicy, and I guess, yeah, maybe to your point. You just gotta be buds. I mean, that was the Pistons contract that was it 3 for $60, I guess, or so.
That's a lot less.
Yeah.
You said it, man. $32 million here for a guy that's never made an all-star game. I guess he potentially could. I think, sure, is there one maybe in his future? Two? I don't know. Maybe. That might be even a reach. He'd have to be on a good team for that to happen too. But Trey, what do you think?
I think this is way too much and way too long and too big of a deal for Jeremy Grant. The guy's going to be 30 years old during this season. You're going to be paying him $32+ million when he's 35 years old. Hasn't made an all-star team. We're talking about he's maybe on the borderline. The only reason he got this big of a contract is because of when he became a free agent. With Damian Lillard's status up in the air for Portland, this is a crazy, crazy overpay. If it was 3 years at $32.5 million for every season, that looks a lot better. But, I mean, $160 is a lot for a guy who can score, who can do a little bit of everything. But isn't taking you to the next level. And when he's been the second best player on the team, they're winning like 33% of their games. So this is a crazy move for me.
Hmm. Any thoughts, Cass?
I ain't mad. I ain't mad at it. When you look at his numbers.
It's not your money.
No, but I know it's just the number on its own, that single $160 million, it looks humongous. But we just talked about Kuzma making $25.5 million versus Jeremy Grant at $32 million. Yeah, the age thing, that's a fair point by Trey. Going to pay him into his mid-30s.
But like, why is Jeremy Grant going to get any... Is he going to get better? He probably is who he is, which is, like you said, a totally fine, acceptable player.
He's not a second banana. He's a third banana that you're paying $30 million for. So it's going to look better with a bigger salary cap. That's for sure. That when you're eating this much of a salary cap. But yeah, I mean, he can look fantastic as a third player on a good team. And he did a little bit in the Nuggets playoff run, and that's why the Pistons decided to sign him. He's just got to be on a good team, and then everybody will say, okay, that's all right. You know, in that sort of Aaron Gordon mold, but he can't be a guy, he's not that much of a game changer. He needs better players to really impact the game.
But the problem then is that Lillard is making even more money than Jeremy Grant is, and now Jeremy Grant is making this much. It's impossible to bring in a third guy who makes him the third guy. because of where he's at salary cap wise. He's just picking up too much.
Unless it's Scoot as a rookie. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like, slight concern this could be a tough contract to trade, even like moving forward. And because of the new CBA, and that, you know, we're already seeing, like, it feels like Zach LaVine and his sort of contract is tough to trade. People are like, oh, that's, you know, that's still a lot of money there. And I know it's not as bad as that, but he's a lesser player than Zach LaVine too. We'll see. I mean, look, I think they got sort of painted into the corner here with this whole Damian Lillard thing. And I really do believe it's related to that, as them going to get him and him being a buddy with Dame and building around him. And he probably is very vocal about him wanting to still be there. So we'll see. Quick note, though, about the Kings. When you look at these deals for the free agent small forwards, Middleton, 3 for $102. Kuzma, 4 for $102. Jeremy Grant, 5 for $160. You know, we'll get to Cam Johnson. We'll get to Bruce Brown. Harrison Barnes at 3 for $54 million. That's pretty damn good. That's good-looking value. I know he's an older guy, too, but there were some people saying, oh, Kings panicked. You know, they overpaid. They didn't. That, you look silly if you said that now, because I think that looks really, really good in comparison to some of these guys, Trey.
Exactly, especially for him being the fourth or fifth option even sometimes for the starting lineup for the Kings. So, yeah, I think, you know, this morning we were talking about what the Kings did, bringing back Harrison Barnes, and how it was a little bit underwhelming considering the excitement after their draft day moves. Just smart stuff. The continuity is going to pay off, and probably having a cheaper contract, you're probably getting, what, 80% of Jeremy Grant at a third of the price, basically?
Yeah, they still have moves to make. This Blazers retool, whatever you want to call it, is really interesting because, Trey, you mentioned just what their pecking order is. How can Jeremy Grant become a third guy with the way that their salary cap is broken down? The way they can do it is trading Simons and Nurkic and or, you know, and to package those two. So they have work to do. That's for sure. They're trying to convince Damian Lillard as we speak. I mean, at least that's sort of admirable that they're trying to do that. It's going to be an interesting July to see if they can move. Like, they're probably calling the Raps continuously. Can OG come on over? Can we entice you? But that ship may have sailed already, unless Lillard says blow this thing up. So that's a fascinating one.
So, for everybody joining us live right now on YouTube that's trickling in here, we love to see it. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe to No Dunks. We do a daily show. Hell, we do a lot of shows even when there is no basketball throughout the week. So hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Here are the five players staying put that we've gone over. Kyrie with the Mavs, Middleton with the Bucks, Draymond with the Warriors, Kuzma with the Wizards, and Jeremy Grant there with the Blazers, as we just talked about. So I guess the biggest name as of 8:37 p.m. Eastern here on Friday night, left on the free agency, you know, top five board, Fred VanVleet. We are waiting on Freddie to make a decision. Is he staying with the Raptors for probably less money but longer term, or is he going to take that two-year, like, $84, $85 million deal from the Rockets, if you believe the rumors, Tass? Is that the decision Freddie's sort of making here? And in doing so, is holding up all the other potential Rockets signings?
Yeah, Freddie, just cut bait. Let's just start anew in Houston. It seems like he's really talking to both sides. You know, it's his first love in Toronto. So, maybe he's taking his time and not saying no to them right now. But, yeah, as a Raps fan, it would be, I don't know, just a little bit of a palate cleanser, a little bit refreshing to see a new backcourt, even though what the hell are they going to do with that backcourt if Fred leaves? But I kind of want to see it happen. And the Rockets, 2 years and a monster deal for Fred makes sense. It would be wild to see him get the most annual dollar value, which could happen. He could even surpass Kyrie's 42 if they pay him 45 per, but they do have to pay somebody to get to that 90%. So it would make sense. I think that guy has to be their number one, number two, number three option, because if they don't get him, this Dylan Brooks and even the Brook Lopez, to some degree, it just doesn't make as much sense. They need somebody that'll be their point guard that's older than 20 and a half years old because they got so many damn young guys.
Trey, he's from Rockford, Illinois. Freddie, can you text him and say, hey, can you do this while we're live on the air? Can you make a decision? Are you going to Toronto? Are you sticking there with four for whatever, you know, 130, whatever? Or are you going to go to Houston for four for 85 or two for 85?
My dad lives very close to Rockford,
well,
so I'll text him and see if he can take something over to the water park there because I'm sure Van Vliet will stop by during the summertime. So hopefully, yeah, hopefully we can get some clarification here. At the very least, it feels like teams are... or players are happy to be using the Houston Rockets for cap space leverage. Everybody's like, yeah, I would think about going to the Rockets. But what do you want to pay me?
After all of these, you know, reported signings here today, I saw it going around right before we jumped on live that it was like the Rockets with like $60 million plus in cap space and that it was like a massive drop off. I think it went to the Spurs maybe next, and some of that was dependent on Trey Jones and how they approached his contract down to like $30 million and then obviously less. It's like the Rockets have all the money left and we're just waiting. We're really waiting on Fred VanVleet to make a decision, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And then the Rockets like either get VanVleet and they start filling in the rest of their roster with the leftover money, or VanVleet says, okay, I'm going back to Toronto. They come to an agreement. It would probably be 4 years. It would probably be in the ballpark of, let's say, $130 million, at least of more than $120 million. And then the Rockets like make all their moves after that because we're waiting on Brook Lopez and Dylan Brooks and a couple of these names. But this one... this one was a little surprising. Bruce Brown. Bruce. Agreeing to a two-year, $45 million deal with the Pacers. But. Zach Lowe says that second year, Tass, is a team option. But thoughts on the Pacers just stealing Bruce Brown from the Nuggets and from some of these other teams that really wanted him, most notably the Lakers.
That's a freaking unbelievable number. the team option. So they make the decision next year if we're going to go ahead with this, or I suppose could flip them at the deadline this year. I guess that could be an option, which sounds a little crazy. But they also wanted to spend their bucks somewhere. They had cap room. So they got a desirable asset, even if it's for a really high number. They can flip it at some point. But that's a monster number, making up for years where he didn't make enough money.
Yeah, this was the first one that came through on Twitter, Trey, where I was like, nah, that's a fake account. I was like, hold on. Somebody got us. That's a fake Woj. That's a fake Shams, whoever first reported this one. And you had to do a little digging, like, hold on, is it really $45 million? Was that a typo? But it's true. And again, then Zach Lowe coming through with the team option on the second year, which changes it a little bit. Like, let's be honest, because you could start looking at it really as sort of a 1 year for $20 million plus. But your thoughts on the Pacers and how Bruce Brown fits with that team? Do you like it?
I love it. I think this is really smart. This is similar to like how J.J. Redick got to the 76ers once upon a time. Back in the day, they just offered him a huge 1 year number, said, come and try and help our team. And we'll see how it goes. That went okay for them. Not 100% perfect, though, as you Kawhi Leonard fans will remember. But yeah, I think this is pretty smart from the Pacers, because we talked about earlier today how Bruce Brown was going to basically have his choice of anywhere to go for the mid-level exception if he wanted it. The only way a team could beat that is by going over the top, which the Pacers quite obviously did, almost doubling up the mid-level exception. Very enticing. And also, I'm guessing Bruce Brown will probably start for them, which is also something that has to be considered a perk here, right? Like, it'll probably be Halliburton, likely Mathurin. And then I'm guessing Bruce Brown is probably slotted in at the forward there, especially since they're an up-tempo sort of team anyways. He'd fit in really nicely. So I think it's worth it to see how his veteranship helps out the team, how his kind of glue guy status just enhances everybody. And then you'll see if it works after the first year, bring him back for the second year, because the cap number is going to be going up anyways. The contract's going to look okay. And the Pacers have so many young guys already that you can afford to overpay at one spot.
Yeah, it's been sort of cool to see Nuggets fans task like almost happy for Bruce here, obviously helping them win a championship, and doesn't feel like there's any hard feelings or something like that. Nuggets were in a tough spot. They could only obviously, you know, give him a very small amount, at least to his trade market, and then extend him and get there maybe eventually. But I like to see that NBA players really are just like us. Oh, yeah. It's another job? Giant payday? Yeah. Okay, I like my job here, but what? Hold on, they're paying how much more? Yeah, I'll go. I'll try and make it work there. I'll try and be happy there too. It's what anybody else would do in basically any other profession. You leave when they're like throwing a bag at you. And that's what Brucey did here. So good on him here for getting this deal.
And then he comes back and has his retirement party and wins a couple more titles with his previous team. I mean, he could go back at some point. Although the Pacers, you know, they start looking at their roster and Halliburton being the center of that team. There's going to be a surprise team in the Eastern Conference. And I don't know, anything Bruce Brown touches, it feels like, is going to be a damn good team. So there could be a surprise team there. It is interesting to see how it all shakes out with their lineups because, you know, Buddy still has to shoot the ball. And Mathurin likely, probably going into starting role. They had such a hole at the four last year. And Bruce kind of fits it. And I guess the Max Strus offer sheet, or a rumored offer, I should say, that they had out there didn't work out, obviously, because Max is moving on somewhere else, but they had money to spend.
Potentially.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So it nearly happened to the minute when we were talking about it. Oh, if it only happened a mere 3 minutes prior when we said, hey, Trey, could you talk to your dad, maybe get something to Rockford, Illinois, talk to Fred VanVleet, help him make a decision. It's happened, Tass. Fred VanVleet has agreed to a three-year, $130 million deal with the Houston Rockets, is what I'm seeing here. Why does that board say Raptors?
Conflicting reports.
Why does that say Raptors there, my man Jerome?
That's me. I will go back to fix that up. My bad.
Son of a bitch.
I'll get back on that.
We've got the Raptors, man.
Oh, you have egg on your face because you were just praying Fred VanVleet was coming back to Toronto. Take the board down. Get it the fuck out of here. It's wrong. VanVleet is going to the Rockets for 3 years, $130 million. Tass?
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years, 130. I mean, this is happening right this second. It just came through from Woj.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at that third year, considering they're going to be paying some of their guys their second contracts during that third year. I thought it would be 2 years, and it made a heck of a lot of sense for the 2 years, because you have to pay somebody, pay an adult to basically chaperone your kids for the next 2 years. But Jalen Green's going to be a maxi. He's going to be probably close to a max, I'm guessing, in that 25-26 year. So you're going to be paying Fred 40, Jalen 40. I mean, these are just wild numbers that I'm throwing out there that don't seem real, but that's probably the money you're going to be throwing out there. Jabari Smith as well is going to be making a large payday. So that third year is an interesting one if it's guaranteed.
Right. It could be declining. We don't know the details. This is just happening right now, right this second. This is amazing. I love this.
I love the first 2 years, though. I absolutely adore the first 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a great move.
Talked about it a lot on this morning's podcast. We love the idea of VanVleet in Houston there, especially what we thought was going to be 2 years is now 3 years, $130 million. Trey, chime in here. What do you think?
Fred VanVleet is one of the top 20 paid players in the NBA.
Yeah, he is.
That's not
yourself,
right,
baby.
That's too much money, but perfectly timed for Fred VanVleet. The Rockets needed a veteran. They needed a organizing point guard, somebody who knows how to run a show, and they had to figure out a way to spend $60 million. So 42.5 in one fell swoop That'll do. But man, that is a big time deal. I'm not too worried about the 3 years. It seems like just solid negotiating from Fred VanVleet. We heard the 2 for $85 to $90 number. Then we heard rumors that the Raptors were maybe going to go for a 4 for $130. So surely he went and called back the Rockets and said, hey, they're going to go 4 years. You want to go another one? They said, yeah, sure. What do we got to waste? We're going to have one guy coming up for a contract in a couple of years here. They're able to do it. So crazy overpay for Fred VanVleet, but them's the circumstances.
So, Tass, you'll like this. It's not a declining contract. It's the opposite. $41 million the first year, $43 million the next, $45 million in the third year. That's from Bobby Marks. Shout out to the Stream team for helping us out here as this happens live. We'll take your word for it. Wow.
What the hell is that? I mean, I don't want the thing to call a fake tweet isn't a escalating salary, but I feel like that's fake. I feel like why does that make any sense?
So this is max money here. Crazy. Yes. VanVleet, max. Hey, look, I love VanVleet. I mean, we can say goodbye here as Raptors fans now. I mean, incredible. Like, what this guy has done in this league. This guy just got a max contract. Guy was undrafted. This is wild. And has the chip, and obviously he's made an all-star game and all that. But yeah, you're right, Trey. It's a funny way to put it. Like, one of the most top paid players in the league, but he's not an all-NBA player. He's a good... Look, he's going to help this Rockets team. They're going to win like 10 more games. In addition to Udoka and these other pieces that are probably come after this, but a part of it will be VanVleet. If healthy, running that team with the kids, as you called them, Tass, it will result in more W's, but holy crap, I will say I'm ecstatic the Raptors are not the ones like paying this sort of deal. I thought it would be 4 years, $130 million, and this guy gets 3 years, $130
million. Yeah, he's a great role model. So he's worth paying him lot of money to show him you want to come from Rockford, Illinois, and be an undrafted player and be a winner in this league. This is what you got to do. But yeah, paying him towards the end of that contract, that third year is a little, yeah, it's a great negotiating move by Fred VanVleet's camp. They showed them the Raptors offer, I'm sure, and said, hey, you got to come close to this. If you're not going to offer a fourth year, give us a third and give us a freaking lot of money. So, yeah, a great negotiation there. He obviously became a free agent at the right time. It is strange because he's not going to be an all-star next year, but he's going to make $40 million.
Not an all-star because they won't have a great enough record.
No, it's highly
too many good guards in the West. Yeah, a lot of factors
lot of
here. Wow. Yeah. Okay, 3 years, $130 million. Fred VanVleet, we'll miss you. He is going to the Houston Rockets. Oh, my God. Love the breaking news here live on the air. If you're just joining us as the numbers tick up, 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 hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe.
I just got to go bet on myself. I'll be right back.
Yeah, man. That's exactly what you should do. Oh, he is leaving. I thought he was doing a bit there for a second, but Tass is stepping off for a second. I guess we'll jump back into it. Let's go with the Lakers here, Trey, because we were talking about Bruce Brown and how the Pacers got him and the Lakers were targeting him, but they did some things. Gabe Vincent, who I thought was going to replace VanVleet in Toronto. No, he's going to the Lakers. 3 years, $33 million to sign with the LA Lakers. Torian Prince, I didn't see the details on his contract, but he finalized a deal or is finalizing a deal with the Lakers. And then this one, as we went live, is Rui Hachimura staying in LA with the Lakers, 3 years, $51 million. So just to go over that, Rui staying, 3 years, 51. Gabe coming here from Miami, 3 years, 33. And then Torian Prince coming to the Lakers as well. Looking at it as a package here, how do you feel about how the Lakers have done today?
Also, they are bringing in Cam Reddish on a contract as well, which, I mean, that's okay. Just for completion's sake, you know? Sure. So just to get the mention in here, I actually like what the Lakers are doing. Reddish accepted. Doesn't really change my opinion on what they've done so far, but bringing back Rui, I think, is smart. He showed in the playoffs that he can be a valuable part of their rotation with the size and the scoring he can give them. We just have to see playoff Rui during the regular season more regularly for the Lakers. I also like bringing in Gabe Vincent. I think he's a really solid player. He's going to help from a shooting perspective, from a creation perspective, and he brings it defensively. I'm always a little nervous when you sign a Miami Heat culture guy away from Heat culture. Right. Doesn't always go well. Just ask Josh Richardson. Just ask Tyler Johnson. Just ask Hassan Whiteside. There are many cases of a guy turning it around in Miami and then not having the same success in other places. But I at least think this is a good dice roll for the Lakers, because Gabe Vincent seems to be a pretty solid player. And at the very least, they need some point guard help. They're also apparently looking at still bringing back D'Angelo Russell. And then I think Taurean Prince is a valuable depth piece. I think he will be able to guard threes, fours a little bit, can shoot the three well enough to be a bench guy. I think he's basically a better version of Troy Brown Jr., who they had last year.
I was just going to say, didn't the Lakers and Wolves just swap Taurean Prince and Troy Brown Jr.? They're like, okay,
exactly.
We'll try out your guy, you try out our guy. I mean, similar players. Tassie jumping back in here. We're just talking about the Lakers, Gabe Vincent and Rui Hachimura staying. I guess we're waiting on Austin Reeves and how much money he's going to get. They do want to bring back D'Angelo Russell, if you believe the reports. Thoughts on L.A. here, Tass?
Well, the Gabe move, I think, means D'Angelo Russell is gone. But all in all, when Austin Reeves
D'Angelo
comes
Russell
back,
to Toronto? Is that what's going to happen?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. He was working out in the city of Toronto, so D'Angelo Russell might... What? That makes no sense. It doesn't seem like a Toronto Raptors player, but...
No.
Gabe Vincent, I mean, he kind of seems like a LeBron dude. So I could see Gabe working pretty well there and rolling off an NBA Finals appearance. I'm sure he's got all the confidence in the world. I think that's a really nice signing for them.
All right, let's keep it going here. Where the heck were we? Let's talk Cam Johnson. He's staying with the Brooklyn Nets. I guess I could have included him in those sort of heavy hitters. He was probably making a lot of people's, I don't know, top 12 potential free agents. But he was restricted, and he is staying, like I said, in Brooklyn for a four-year, $108 million deal. So nice little payday here for Cam Johnson as Brooklyn, as expected, keep him, Tass. We didn't think they would let him leave being a restricted player.
No, they're setting themselves up nicely for the future with Mikal Bridges as their number one type guy. And Cam Johnson, a perfect complimentary guy. The only little wrinkle, little hiccup that they have is they're paying Ben Simmons, unfortunately. So it's feeling like the Brooklyn Nets of old before the Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant experiment. Just really solid players across the board. Let's see Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson grow together with a supporting cast. But they are a little hampered with the 40 mil being handed out to Ben Simmons. Big shoulders. And we'll see if Ben and can add anything, but this is a great deal for a really just as a prototypical guy for today's NBA. He's perfect, the perfect 3-and-D guy, perfect complimentary guy.
Trey, thoughts on Cam staying in Brooklyn?
I think they want him to be more than just a prototypical 3-and-D guy if they're paying him this much money, because that's quite a bit of money for a guy who is a good player, but I think he's a little older than people realize. You know, he's going to be 28 during next season, so this is the prime of his career. He averaged 15 a game last year, which is fine, but you would want a little bit more from your second option. So I'm sure the Nets are hoping that he takes a leap forward, because they went out and they paid him right away rather than letting him go and get an offer sheet from somebody. They said, we're just going to make it worth your while to stay here. We know you and Bridges have a connection. We think you are on the upswing of your career. So I think it's worth the big deal, and I think he will play to the deal. I don't necessarily know that he's a $25 million player right now, but by the end of this, I bet he will be.
And just to stick with Brooklyn, because we're here right before free agency started at 6 p.m. tonight, we learned that the Nets were sending Joe Harris in a trade and two future second-round picks to Detroit. So the Pistons get a 2027 second-round pick by way of the Mavs and a 2029 second-round pick by way of the Bucks. And by trading Headband Harris there, the Nets created a $19.9 million trade traded player exception. Detroit, by league rules, had to send $110,000 in cash back to
the bare minimum that you can trade, right? Like the literal worst thing you could possible trade is what they threw in there. I love
it. I think you either have to send $110,000 or a top 55 protected future second round pick. I think those are league rules that you have to send it back. But I bring this up in addition to the Cam Johnson thing because Harris was definitely like pushed down the Nets depth chart with Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, then there's Dorian Finney-Smith, there's Royce O'Neal. He had the ankle injuries and surgery there. He even said he wasn't the same player that he was a couple years ago. But the Pistons' task, they bring in a guy that can obviously shoot the ball. I mean, he's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, and that's something they struggle with. So they're hoping he gets back a little more healthy. And I could see him playing a role here in Detroit as a guy that can stretch the floor because they have not had a lot of like sort of lights-out three-point shooters over the last little while. So this sort of makes sense for a very, 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 very cheap acquisition.
They kind of were sort of renting out their cap space in a way. Like, somebody's got to get paid again, so they just said, we'll take it. We have to pay somebody. We'll take it. How about a couple second-round picks? So that's what they got paid to take Joe Harris. Hopefully he becomes something close to what he used to be, but really, this could just be a couple second-round picks. So hopefully the injuries have slowed his athleticism down. He just wasn't the same guy last year. So seems more like just a books play at this point.
I mean, yeah, and for Detroit, like because this happened right before free agency really started, it sort of took them like out of the running for any sort of big fancy free agent signings because I think they went like their cap space went from like a projected $30 million to like $10 million after the Joe Harris trade there, so there's not a whole lot left. But what do you think, just quickly, Trey, on Joe in Detroit?
The price was right. You know? They didn't have to do much for Joe Harris, and they shouldn't be expecting much from Joe Harris either. But who knows? If he can shoot threes, that helps all of their guards and their big guys who are penetrators and just want to make plays in the paint. You need somebody to shoot from the outside. Bogdanović is one of them. Maybe Harris will be another.
And this is just a fun note for the sickos out there. The Nets create a $20 million trade exception, like I said, by moving Joe Harris. The Nets have five other trade exceptions. They have a lot of them which expire in February. The most notable ones are an $18.1 million trade exception from the Durant trade and a $4.5 million exception from the Kyrie trade. They have three smaller exceptions, but I know what you're wondering. No, you cannot combine all of the trade exceptions into one. That would be great if you could, but you cannot. You can't do that. So they have all of these now with this $20 million one here coming in the Joe Harris deal. All right, back to the free agency news from the day. Back to the Raptors. Give me some Raptors news. A little bit more. Jakob Poeltl-Tass agreeing to a four-year, $80 million deal to stay in Toronto. $20 million a year for Poeltl. They obviously gave up a first-round pick to get him last year. What do you think of the money here and the years for the starting center?
Yak did it. I like this number. I think it's baseline. It's like starting player in the NBA, $20 million. But Yak can...
It's the Vucci line.
That's right. Yeah.
The old Vucevic line. I think this is a little bit more optimistic for the Raptors than it is for the Bulls, considering how the age difference. And Yak was great when he came back this season. And so paying him into his prime at $20 million, you got to be happy. As a Raps fan, you know, overall, it's feeling like the same team without Fred VanVleet right now. And they may be, you know, finding somebody from a UFT run to play point guard for them because that's the confusing part.
No, I'm playing. I would love a chance. Masai, just give me a chance. I played with Trey on Wednesday night. Did we lose?
I don't think we lost the game, actually. Well, might have lost our last game.
Okay, we lost one.
Yeah.
But my request is, if I get a chance at point guard, Trey Kirby has to get an opportunity as well. Or wear a compliment.
I'll be cheaper. I'll be cheaper than Poeltl.
Yeah, I mean, those are the types of names I think the Raptors are going to end up getting. A Trey Kirby and a J.E. Skeets. I mean, that's we're looking a little, it's looking a little thin at the guard spot. So a little like Vooch, $20 million, why the heck not? Yak, $20 million, why the heck not? A really solid player, but overall, it ain't looking extremely positive for the outlook for this team. But you make this signing and hopes that he's a building block for this team.
Yeah, I mean, and Trey talked about it when it happened. You know, they did give a first-round pickup for him. So you were led to believe they would sign him unless it was like an unreal number, and this is not that. I think we're all agreeing at his age and what he brings, especially defensively. This always sort of is what we thought it would be, ballpark. Trey, are you shocked at all or no?
No, $20 million is the going rate for starting centers right now, apparently. Yeah, the Raptors found out the hard way that you have to have a center in the NBA. You got to actually play a big guy, so they locked one down for the next four seasons. I don't know. How do you guys feel about the Raptors? They're basically, I mean, the Bulls are doing the same thing, running it back with slight changes. The Bulls added to their team. Obviously, Van Vliet is leaving now, so a big hole for the Raptors, but I don't know. I wasn't looking forward to the Bulls running it back necessarily. Are you guys excited about the Raptors basically running it back?
I would be excited if they really, truly commit to Scottie Barnes as the point guard on this team. And I'm not convinced they will, nor can. And so I will probably be less excited when it's like a D'Angelo Russell, for crying out loud, or something. You know, I was hoping Nikhil Alexander Walker even, but, you know, it sounds like he's staying in Minnesota. There is a big hole, a glaring hole at the point guard position. Unless it's like, Scotty, go ahead, try and learn. We sort of saw the Bucks do that with Giannis, like, back in the day a little bit. It's like, all right, let's just give him the ball. See what happens. Go through the growing pains. That would be a little at least exciting to me, and there's no way I wanted to pay Van Vliet, you know, $40-plus million. But I hear you, Trey. It's a little bit like, ugh, okay. It's tough to get pumped up about a 500 team. Refreshing new coach, maybe, you know, inspires them a little bit. I guess that's a little different than the Bulls with Darko coming in as the new head coach. But Tass, what do you think?
Yeah, it's all about Scotty. The Bulls don't have the same optimism level, I would say, with any other guys that the Raps do with Scotty. Hopefully. I'm just
but Scotty just had a bad year, too.
Of course he did, yeah.
Yeah,
this whole point guard thing, I mean, yeah, he can be like a secondary creator, but it's not like he's dribbling around and through people. It's not his thing. He needs somebody else. They need a point guard. and they need to use Scotty more, but man, it's just not him. Like he could be maybe an Andre Iguodala type point guard, hopefully, one day. But
come on, dream big. He's Magic Johnson 2.0. He's basically LeBron, man. Give him the ball. Get out of the way. Just about Poeltl, though, I will say, his team's always defend better when he's out there, and they generally outscore opponents when he plays. Like, that's sort of been his MO. They were 15-11 when they brought Poeltl in sort of last year, so they improved the defense. He is like pretty vital to that end, so I think this is a pretty solid contract for him, and he's got the player option there, fourth year, so good for him. Moving on, Herb Jones, he's staying with the Pelicans, 4 years, $54 million. Which looks, you know, in some of these other numbers we saw, not that bad. Tass, any thoughts on this one? We'll start moving with some pace here because we get to some smaller names.
Herb, yeah, they decided that they wanted to get into a long-term negotiation with Herb Jones after just 2 years in the league, second-round pick, and giving him a big deal for him and for being a second-round pick. Yeah, overall, this Pelican situation, you look at Herb Jones' contract, sure, should be worth that, even though he had a bit of a bad year in comparison to his first year. You know, he fell back a bit, like Scotty Barnes that we just talked about, was sort of passed on the depth chart by Trey Murphy. But it's a good deal. And you know, he is not going to make or break this Pelicans team, but they have they now kind of have a lot of the same players and a glut of players. So I like how they at least picked some. You know, they decided not to pay Jackson Hayes. Same with Willie Hernan Gomez. And they paid this player who is a guy again, like Cam Johnson, but for way cheaper, that a 3-and-D type guy that you want around on your team. So I guess it makes sense in a vacuum. He's not taking these Pelicans to a promised land, but the contract makes sense.
TK?
I don't really have much else to add. It's like $13 million a year for Herb Jones. Pretty solid for a rotation guy, and he'll probably, throughout his tenure with the Pelicans, kind of go up and down in the rotation. There will be times when he's an integral part, and there will be times when you're like, they're paying this guy and not Trey Murphy. It'll look weird, but I think he's good enough that you want to keep him around because he's definitely got NBA skills that really stick out.
Okay, let's take a quick intermission here, right? We're almost an hour in, talking nonstop signings. Just going nuts here. We have the breaking news with Van Vliet. We love it. Everybody joining us live on YouTube. It just goes up and up and up. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Yada, yada, yada. But the intermission, guys, is this. Derek White shaved his head. New look from White. What do you think, Tassie? Is this the first time you've seen the photo? It's gone, my man. He took off all that hair that started, you know, way at the back of his head.
It's the first time I've seen this photo. It's definitely the first time Derek White has ever seen himself bald, because I don't think he would have done that if he knew what he was getting into.
Oh, what? You don't like the shape of his head?
Yeah, it'll grow back, man. I like the summer risk-taking. I like that. I like that in somebody. Just do something different for the summer. So I ain't mad at it, but I think hair is coming back pretty soon.
Oh, I don't think it's that bad when you remember what his hair did look like and how far his headband started back. Trey, thoughts?
He has a youthful face. That guy's got a young face, man. You know, anytime a player with long hair gets short hair, it's notable. I miss it too. I miss his long hair. I can't deny it.
You guys already miss his long hair.
I miss it so bad. It's unique. Like, if Trae Young ever shaves his head, that'll be weird. You know, there are just guys who, like, it's like when Iverson went from braids to no braids. It's just the change. It's jarring.
Yeah, yeah.
This is exactly this is exactly like Iverson.
He's got a funny shaped head. He's I've said this story before, just quickly. Way back in high school, my buddy Brody, he decided to buzz my head. He used a beard trimmer, so that was our first mistake. I remember we did it in like the in like a giant you know, almost like a paint sink, you know what I mean? Like a utility sink in the house, like a big one. He shaved my head, and he just started, like, laughing, like, nonstop. And I hadn't seen it yet. I'm like, what's so, like, why is it that funny? He's like, oh, you have the worst shaved head ever. And he was right. Like, I looked insane. I looked so, so bad. Like, I've got some moles up on there. It's like, it is brutal. So never again. I was like, I'm never shaving my head again. I was like, I have to pray now, because this is fairly young, right? It's like high school. I was like, I have to pray that I don't go bald. Like, and then I keep my hair. And I was like, all right, my mom's father has a good set of hair still. You know, my grandpa, I think that's how it gets passed down. I'm never quite sure, but we're good. Anyway,
you're good. You're safe.
What do you mean?
Well, you said
maternal grandfather's got a full head of hair.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I'm 43 years old. In a month or so, right. Like, my hair hasn't gone. My hairline's pretty good. Like, I think I'm okay.
Number one, you're not telling facts here. These are alternate facts. You're not 43. Number one.
Yeah, I said I'm 43 in a month.
Oh, is that what you said?
Yeah,
that's correct. But you can lose your hair in your 50s.
Okay,
that's what I've heard.
I mean, look, you want to shave my head when it comes to it?
You want a group head shave this summer?
No, I just went over why I definitely don't.
Group head shave. If we're struggling for a B block, we can do that sometime.
Yeah. Okay.
Just I'll buzzing.
Okay. Right, Tass, you can't take off those locks, man. You're like, girl's both back, of you guys. Man. You're like known for your hair.
My mom's father had very long hair.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's how it I don't know.
That's what they say.
Trey, you're the doctor, isn't that? The chromosomes of the past?
Yeah. You know, the pass down from your mom's dad didn't come up in all of my doctor classes, actually.
Oh. Well, somebody fact check me on that. I think I'm right, unless I've just made that up.
That is 100% the old wives' tale.
Oh. Yeah. Well, hey, one for one in my family.
Yeah, exactly. Might be true.
I got gray hair.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, let's keep going here. Let's talk about the Cavaliers. Now, the Cavaliers are interesting because there was a tweet going around, and it wasn't from your Woj or Shams, but it was a report that Max Strus had agreed to a 4-year, $64 million deal with the Cavaliers. Nobody's confirmed that, that is indeed what has happened. In fact, I think we've left off with there's like a potential third team getting involved to facilitate Max Strus from the Heat to Cleveland, and then a third team, getting in the mix. And a lot of people are saying possibly the Spurs are that third team. Unless you guys know something I don't know, I think that's where we left off. And Strus right now is still with the Heat. With a great set of hair.
he will not shave his head.
No.
Absolutely not. Yeah, this is an untrusted source coming through with the Strus tweets. But everybody's acting like the Miami Heat are losing two of their starters. So I think it's going to go down. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe Strus finds his way to Cleveland. They have done some other things. They've kept Tass Caris LeVert 2 years, $32 million as one of their sort of key components there. And then the minivan is driving up to Cleveland. I don't know how far that drive is. What's Philadelphia to Cleveland? What would you ballpark that? Is that like 10 hours? Is that crazy? Less?
Sounds like a lot.
Maybe less.
From where?
Philadelphia to Cleveland.
Oh. 6 hours.
Six? That's it. Oh,
I bet they're close, actually.
Okay. Well, he's in a minivan, remember?
Yeah.
Anyway, 3 years, $26 million. So the Cavs may be getting Strus as of recording this podcast and getting, or keeping, I should say, Caris LeVert and bringing in George Niang. Tass, you love, you are, you know, a proud card-carrying member of the Niang gang, so you must be pumped.
Yes.
Here. Especially your Cleveland Cavaliers, too. Oh, my God.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to ride in George Niang's van for 6.5 hours, just Googled, from Philadelphia to Cleveland to go play Cleveland Cavaliers back. But some say that I look like Max Strus, so maybe somebody thought that was me signing that 4-year, $64 million deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers and reported on it. What am I saying? I don't want to get too excited about Max Strus being there because it is a great fit. There's no doubt. They were searching last year for that small forward, so he would really, really help out if he is that guy. Otherwise, yeah, they've solidified their bench greatly, but the money, I don't know the cap ramifications here. If they are able to add 8.5 for Niang, and still signs Strus. I'm not 100% certain on that, but it feels like those are all players that would help them. No, so that would all sort of make sense.
Trey, what do you think? If Strus finds his way there, or even does it, keeping Caris LeVert at that deal and bringing Niang in, do you like this, what Cleveland's done here in the first couple hours?
I think it's fine. I think bringing LeVert back on a pretty cheap deal is totally worth it, just because he's a streaky guy, and he's never what we're expecting. The idealized version of Caris LeVert, we never really see that for long stretches of time, but the price is okay. Niang, I think, will be helpful just because the Cavs, as constructed, need shooting if they're going to be playing Jared Allen and Evan Mobley huge minutes, which obviously they are, as they're foundational parts of their team at this time. Strus, I guess you gotta hope the deal goes through and that his shooting is real, because I feel like he's kind of a streaky guy as well, as we saw great in the Eastern Conference Finals, not so great in the NBA Finals. So is he like a 40% three-point shooter? Is he a 36% three-point shooter? They have to hope on the 40. He's also kind of small, I would say, which means if you're going forward with a starting lineup that's going to have two small guards in Mitchell and Garland, and then Max Strus is at the three, you gotta hope that Mobley and Allen are up for the challenge once again. The Cavs are just turning into a funny team. I think that George Niang on the Cavs will be TASS's number one most talked about player next season. It's just the perfect combination of player and team to hear about. So I think the Cavs are going after the right players. They got holes on the wing and they need some shooting.
Yeah. Caris LeVert is, in keeping him at that deal, I got no issues with that. He's just such an innings eater, too, right? Obviously, like an above average player. He played pretty well in the playoffs, from what I can recall there, even though it came in the first round loss. So, yeah, he sticks and Yang there, and then we'll see about this, Strus. But we'll move on to Trey Kirby's Chicago Bulls. Now, we already knew about the Vucevic re-signing. For the Vucci line of $20 million per year. But they also made some other moves here today. And they are the Bulldog going to the Bulls, Javon Carter agreeing to a three-year $20 million deal with Chicago, and then Coby White staying in Chicago 3 years, anywhere between $33 million and $40 million. Maybe $40 million is with incentives. We've seen both of those numbers. I just put 40 there on the lower third. But Carter and Coby, TK, what do you think?
Point guard was definitely a position of need for the Bulls. When Patrick Beverley came in last year, like probably the definition of replacement level starting point guard, just having that level of point guard play turned the Bulls into a completely competent team. So Javon Carter, basically a younger, better version of Patrick Beverley. He's going to bring it from a defensive intensity standpoint. The Bulls are hoping he is a 40% three-point shooter like he was last season, but hasn't necessarily been in other years in his career, but maybe they're hoping a homecoming keeps him hot from outside. And Coby White really improved. He was a guy who I would have been happy for the Bulls to say goodbye to heading into last season, but he's gotten better as a defender. He's a much better playmaker. His handle is a lot tighter, and he was one of the few players on the Bulls who would actually let it fly from three. So I think bringing him back on a pretty team-friendly deal is good stuff. Now they are unfortunately hard-capped, so they're going to have to find out a way to bring back Io for probably like a $5 million contract and then get some random veteran minimum dudes on the wing, because they're still such a tiny, tiny team right now. But I thought Carter was a pretty good curveball that nobody was really expecting. And bringing him in, I think he'll fit really nice in Billy Donovan's system, because it's all about forcing turnovers, getting deflections, and that's something he's great at.
Yeah, I thought that was a great little pickup there for the Bulls. TASS, any thoughts on these additions?
Yeah, not a lot to add other than hopefully these guys stay healthy, and then these guys, along with Caruso, can get them out running, and they can be a great defense like they were last year, and they can just sort of get a bit of an identity from the get-go. And, you know, they've got the offensive players, so if they have that defensive tassie with a couple of these guys, DeRozan and LaVine are healthy, I don't know. I guess on paper, it sort of makes sense. You know,
are you
surround
the, Bulls are back?
The scores. What's that? The Bulls are back. Yeah.
I can't believe you'd say that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I hope we can say it. I hope we can say, like, there's scores on this team. Add a few scrappy players. But, yeah, I mean, on paper, it kind of makes sense.
All right, here's a point guard I wish the Raptors maybe could have acquired, but he's sticking in San Antonio for a great deal. 2 years, $20 million, Trey Jones. Staying in San Antonio, he'll be pairing up there with Wembanyama in year one. Tass, thoughts on this one here, as we probably can make these pretty brief as we move here.
Yeah, I would say this is, you know, one of the players that is probably least known in the NBA, like one of the
best
solid players that is very unknown, but a really quick dude, and he's got a lot of skill and a lot of potential, so it seems like a Spursy player that they can just develop and grow, and he can be a key cog for them going forward. So yeah, Handel can play. He can just play. So yeah, it's a great deal.
TK, thoughts on TJ?
No notes. Two for 20. That's fine. Throw some alley-oops to Victor Wembanyama and you'll look great.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, another Trey. Trey Lyles, as expected, sticking in Sacramento. 2 years, $16 million. Bonuses in play. Kirby, we thought this was probably the case after the Harrison Barnes signing. I can't talk right now.
The Kings went barning this weekend.
It's been a long day, guys. We did a drop podcast in the morning. Then we recorded Fast Friends for Fast 10, which was like a 2 hour and 20 minute podcast. That'll drop next week. And then we're doing this. I'm running out of, words and structuring sentences. I'm struggling right now, but Trey Lyles.
Trey Lyles, cool. Take it away.
He played great for them last year.
All you need is 2 3-word sentences. Run it back, light the beam. The Kings are saying, we got a good thing going. Let's try it all again. I mean, they did have some good luck last year. Like, no team was healthier than the Sacramento Kings. But I think, like you're saying, Skeets, Trey Lyles was pretty solid in the playoffs. He was great in the regular season, doing exactly what the Kings needed, giving them versatility next to Sabonis or backing up Sabonis. So to get him on a deal like this, he's getting paid less than Trey Jones. That's pretty impressive. And Trey Lyles is a guy, I'm not just comparing them strictly Trey for Trey here, but they came one right after another. And Trey Lyles has done it in the playoffs. Trey Lyles has now played for a winning team in the Kings. So I think a pretty solid deal for Sacramento.
Tass, thoughts on the Canadian here and how he's developed into a pretty solid player, at least last year, filling in at the 4 and 5 position?
Yeah, I think his playoff performance is a little overblown. He did shoot 33% from three. I know we all saw a good couple quarters, and they're on, it was no bigger spotlight for the Sacramento Kings that they've had, in a very long time. So it seemed like he chipped in a lot. He is in a good spot. And so it is, about running it back and hopefully them growing together and, him finding his niche in the NBA. This is the prime of his career. He is a really good shooter. He's a really good regular season shooter, better than he was in the playoffs. So he had some good moments. And, the Kings are just trying to say, look at those Nuggets. We can try and do that. Just every single guy that's been there forever, let's do it one more time. So you got to respect that.
Well, you bring up the Nuggets. That is the perfect segue because they saw Reggie Jackson on the bench and they said this guy was vital to our championship. Bring him back. 2 years, $10.25 million player option in the second year. So very, very cheap here. But this one surprised a lot of people because he didn't, do anything for them. He never played, really, outside of a handful of minutes there in the postseason. And yet they elect to bring him back. Trey, any thoughts on Reggie?
Yeah, the biggest thing from Reggie Jackson's finals performance in my eyes was that he was wearing two different shoes in a lot of these pregame warmups. I know he did have some spot minutes here and there, but to see him get another $10 million just for being around, that's okay. I don't know, maybe there's a bit more of a role for him now that Bruce Brown has moved on to the Pacers. They're going to need somebody to come off the bench, and at the very least, the Nuggets need to retain the players that they had from last season just to keep those salary slots, and that's probably part of the reason why he got this big of a deal in case they ever want to move it for a different player who makes a little bit more money going forward.
Yeah, and I guess they believe that with a full year that he can help out because he was signed, midway through the year as a buyout guy from the Clippers. So they've got a hope that he plays a little bit better. But I guess they like the juju that he brought last year to this team. He's capable of being a contributing player. And so he's capable, more capable of what than what he was allowed to offer last year. So throw him in that role. He was a starting point guard on a team that went to the conference finals just a couple years ago. I mean, he's still young enough. He should be worth that $5 million, even though, I mean, he probably played like 5 minutes in the finals. He literally played 18 minutes in the postseason total. But yeah, this is partly a replacement for Bruce Brown leaving as well. Yeah.
Did I see that the Nuggets are bringing back DeAndre Jordan as mm-hmm. well? Yeah. Okay. So they're just, yeah, they're all vibes.
Good vibes. Okay.
It was great. We lost Brucey. He got a bag. Good for him. Good stuff. But otherwise, we keep the team together here. Joe Ingles is going to Orlando. 2 years, $22 million. Joe Ingles. Remember him. Tass, I remember you being very, very pumped about the addition to Milwaukee. But he is now going to Orlando. And they had some money, I guess, that they had to give to some guys. And he gets some.
I'm a Joe Ingles backer. You think I like to talk about George Niang a lot. I like to talk about this guy a lot. But this was shocking. This is a big dollar figure. And I guess it's just what you said, Skeets, that they have to pay somebody. And, I mean, they're paying a guy to also be a bit of an adult in the room there in Orlando. And, yeah, I mean, what kind of role is Joe Ingles going to play on this team? Is he starting? Is he playing that much? I mean, is that, I guess he's the small forward on this team?
No, he's got to come off the bench.
No, yeah, I would hope not.
I mean, what's the, so they're, well, their starting lineup, I mean, I guess that's Franz's spot, but who knows with this team. Anyway, a good guy to have in the locker room.
He's a vet. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And he can shoot threes. On a young team.
Yeah.
They need
and threes. Old people love Florida. They go there all the time. Yeah.
And he's Australian, you know, probably more comfortable in warm weather locations. Played in Utah forever. Played in Milwaukee, another cold city.
Sure.
He's going to be unleashed here in Orlando. Joe Ingles, that humidity and that heat, man, loosens him up. You watch. You
My
watch.
Knees are feeling lubed up tonight, Skeets.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, Paolo, hit me in the corner, mate.
$11 million per there for Joe Ingles did catch me by surprise. The Wolves did a bunch of things. Troy Brown Jr. going to Minnesota. Nikhil Alexander-Walker staying there. And Shake Milton agreeing to a deal with Minnesota as well. Tass, thoughts on the Wolves on the first day of free agency
Well, you got to bring Nikhil Alexander-Walker back.
Yeah.
A must. He was solid in the postseason, even in a limited role. He knew his role. Yeah, you got to keep him around. I guess these other contracts for Shake Milton and Troy Brown may mean Jalen Noel is gone. And that experiment, that draft pick, just ain't going to work out. So they decided to go a little bit cheaper on that front. Yeah, I mean, a little surprising that I guess they're going to do to Shake Milton what I think the Sixers wanted to do and try and unleash him as a backup guard that lights it up a little bit because, yeah, Shake, I think, was just underutilized because he is a six-man, has that capability of just of lighting it up. So, yeah, there's my analysis of those guys.
Sorry, I was smirking while you were talking there. Not because of what you were saying, but just because we found out the Fred VanVleet replacement in Toronto, Tess. It's not D'Angelo Russell. It's not D'Angelo Russell. It's another Lakers guard, though.
Dennis Schroeder?
Schroeder.
Woo!
Is going to Toronto. Tess is pumped for some reason. 2 years, $26 million deal. Masai moving quickly here to replace VanVleet.
Emmanuel?
At the point guard position. So, yes, Dennis Schroeder, 2 years, $26 million to take over the point guard duties.
They got a point guard.
Yeah, they did get a point guard. Yeah, and, hey, look, what, doesn't Schroeder have a long-ass wingspan?
Can't
Fits
shoot.
That team perfectly.
Plays defense.
Yep, can't shoot, yeah.
It's an ideal Raptor.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, Tassany, I know this is happening in real time here. Any thoughts on this?
I mean, we covered it. Listen, his last few years have been a bit of a roller coaster. Bet on himself. That bet did not pay off. He bounced around the league for a couple teams. Last year, in his return to the Lakers, it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was fine. So it was 13 mil. Crazy? No, I don't think it's crazy. No. It's just a little unfortunate that that's, you know, for the Raps. That's what this is. I mean, it's underwhelming for the Raptors. And Raptors fans, for sure, because he is a great third guard, I would say. And the Raps need a numero uno, and so they'll still be looking for one, I suppose.
Yeah, but once Van Vliet signed with the Rockets, it was like, well, who the hell's left? It was like, I mean, who was going to be the point that they were going to go and acquire? It was going to be probably like Schroeder level. I mean, I guess. Yeah, hoping to trade with the Wizards to get one of their backup point guards. I mean, I don't know, Monte Morris or DeLon Wright, bring him back. It's like slim pickings is what I'm getting at.
At least it's not an overspend.
No.
It's not an overspend on D'Angelo Russell.
Right. All right, so that's more Raptors news. Give me some Raptors news. We've given you a ton here throughout this show. All this breaking Toronto news. Perfect time. Suns were busy. They brought back Damian Lee. Josh Okogie, they signed Drew Eubanks, Metu, Bates Diop, and Yuta Watanabe. So the Suns just like, they basically built their, secondary roster here, their entire bench in mere hours of free agency. Obviously, they didn't have a ton of money to work with here, but a lot of their guys that they've either kept or brought in here. The big one, I guess, people were excited about, Trey, was Watanabe. And everybody's like, oh yeah, KD called that one in. Said, go get my guy. I liked him.
I love playing with him. Yeah. And he's a great corner three-point shooter, specifically in a last season, just a good three-point shooter all around. So he's going to have easy looks. That was a guy that I would have loved for the Bulls to be able to pick up. So, you know, realistically, most of these guys are going to be end-of-the-bench players for the Phoenix Suns. But I like that they're taking a chance on basically very athletic players like Eubanks, is a jumper, basically. Bates Diop, the same. Chimezie Metu, he's a leaper as well. I think getting young athletic guys to just run the court and try and cause some havoc whenever they may be out there is a smarter idea than rolling out like your Tristan Thompson level vets who are just old tough guys. I would rather take my chances just randomly having success running and jumping on the court.
Tass, any thoughts on the Suns here?
Yuta Watanabe, great locker room dude, I think is good juju for that locker room and for that team. They brought a bunch of guys back, as you said there. Damian Lee, who was an incredible regular season three-point shooter, didn't work out in the postseason so much. Josh Okogie, who was their starter, and could actually
will start. Yeah,
could be their fifth starter, along with the big three and DeAndre Ayton, who's not part of the big four. It's the big three and DeAndre Ayton plus him. Eubanks, interesting. That's a decent little pickup there. I wonder if that means that Jock Landale and or Bismack Biyombo are coming back. But yeah, Trey brings up a good point about Metu and Bates Diop athleticism. But this is, they're not waiting. This is six guys to go with the other four. So they're starting to fill out this roster.
I was trying to keep up with all the Suns like moves here.
I'd say 12. I think there's 12. I'm guessing they have 12 plus campaign plus Ish Wainwright.
Right.
Who they just brought back. I don't know what the Saben Lee situation is, but we're seeing it. We're seeing their team here. This is basically their team.
Is it enough to win a championship?
Sure.
Is Watanabe the difference maker? So people will be leading the A block with come Monday. We're almost done here. And again, thanks to everybody for sticking with us here. This has been a long podcast. Obviously, a lot to talk about. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. But the Heat have agreed to a 2-year deal with Josh Richardson. and agreed to a 2-year deal with Kevin Love. And again, we're still waiting on this whole Strus thing. They've lost Gabe Vincent, but those two guys, in theory, they've signed 2-year deals with, Trey, Miami Heat.
Yeah, and I guess Josh Richardson will be maybe a Gabe Vincent replacement. I guess he could take Strus minutes as well, though he needs a little bit of image rehabilitation in Miami, getting back to basically Miami Josh Richardson. It has not gone well since he left there, whereas Kevin Love, kind of as expected, ingratiated himself to the Miami Heat. He had some good moments in the playoffs, was also unplayable come the finals. But I think at the very least, the Heat value, the continuity, and the veteranship a guy like Kevin Love is going to bring going forward.
Heat culture, man. Maybe they can bring the most out of Josh Richardson, because he was a really good player there and earned his reputation in his first 4 years, went to Philly where they, you know, tried to make him an on-the-ball guy, and it didn't really work out. But he can still shoot it. He was really good in New Orleans at the end of last year after moving on from the Spurs. Still a good player. If he's off the ball in that Strus role, maybe. Why the heck not?
Sorry. My basketball reference page just started talking to me while I was trying to look up Josh Richardson information. A lot of pop-up ads.
I thought it was your wife talking about the kids for some reason. On. That's why I thought I heard. Yeah. News here from free agency is there are reports that Porzingis and the Celtics are expected to finalize a 2-year, $60 million extension. This was going around fairly early. But that is it. I think we've honestly touched on basically every signing through the first now 3.5 hours since it kicked off at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's about 9:30 now. And man, shout out to the Raptors for like giving us the breaking news with Van Vliet going to the Rockets for an insane amount of money, and then Masai quickly pivoting to Dennis Schroeder for the 2-year, $26 million deal. Anything I've left out there?
I'm seeing a new piece of slop right here. O'Shea Brissett is going to the Boston Celtics on a 2-year deal.
Well, you know what? It's Canada Day tomorrow, so I'm fucking pumped to hear that. I hope Dylan Brooks signs. We already got Trey Lyles, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. This is good. So, who are the big names left at this point then?
Well, Cam Reddish also signed with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, you had gotten up and taken a crap. We already talked about that.
I was popping my Julian Champagne because he's signing with the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay. Good. This is nice little mini slops you guys are dropping here.
What about the Rui slop, just to confirm the number 3
for
51?
We talked about the Lakers while you were gone. Yeah, that was the Lakers segment.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right. Who are the biggest free agents available? Brook Lopez?
Yeah. D'Angelo Russell.
Literally the biggest.
Miles Bridges is restricted.
Westbrook.
We know how we all feel about him. Westbrook. Austin Reeves, I guess, we're still waiting on. PJ Washington, another Hornets player we're still waiting on. He's restricted.
Yeah.
That's about it. And, James Harden being traded. And maybe Damian Lillard.
Here's another little slopper for you.
Okay. Oh,
Seth Curry, 2-year deal with the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
That's a good one. Okay. He's a good player, I think. He's getting older now, but
we don't have terms on that money-wise, but 2 years.
Yeah.
A lot of two-year deals. Yeah. Oh, gee, I wonder why.
Why?
The 2025-26 TV media rights deal kicking in. Yeah, that's going to change things for sure. Smart. All right, there it is, guys. Who's the big winner? Let's say that. Let's end with this. I know there's a lot to take in, but who, Trey, in your opinion, team or player, not Derek White's barber, because that would be a loser because he's going to lose a lot of money now. Who's the big winner for you from the first couple of hours of free agency?
You know, looking at it, most players went back to their original team. Fred VanVleet, the biggest name. Who changed, I would say. Yep. So biggest winners for me got to be Fred VanVleet and Bruce Brown, because they get just massive, massive bags by being willing to leave their situations, quite honestly. You know, Bruce Brown saw I can make four times as much money as I made this past season. Yeah, I'll go play for the Pacers for at least one season. And then Fred VanVleet, like we're saying, the guy's getting paid like a top 20 player in the NBA just because he happened to be a point guard veteran in the summer of 2023. So those are the two big winners for me, because when I look at the landscape of things, I don't necessarily know that there are any free agency signings we've seen today that really change the tenor of the league.
Tass, if you had to pick a winner, who would you go with?
Two words, eight letters, Rich Paul.
Yeah, made a lot of money today.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he's got eight letters in his name. He says, I ain't talking to you unless you start talking eight figures. No, that's not enough. Let's make it nine. Draymond Green, Jeremy Grant, Fred VanVleet. Big monies. Clutch, baby.
Say that again. Say that again. Oh, my God. What, we got a board for this?
Yes, we do. Rich Paul wins free agency board. He's on the phone.
$90 million.
He doesn't look really convincing in this picture if you're on YouTube with us, but he is doing some convincing. He's saying, you want Draymond Green? You got to give us a fourth year. You want Fred VanVleet? You got to give us a third year. You want Damian Lillard's best friend? You got to give us five for 160 for Jeremy Grant. So good work by him.
I feel like there's not a lot of like, ooh, what the hell are you guys doing? You know, there's not a lot of that. Sure, there's like some crazy numbers, VanVleet being one of them. We already talked about that, but we sort of knew the Rockets would overpay because they're like, we want a veteran point guard in here to help us try and win games. So we sort of get that. And maybe it was more than the 2 years. It was more than 2 years being the third year, so that was a little surprising. But there's not a lot where I'm like, ugh, what the hell? Why? Maybe Jeremy Grant? Really? You're trying to convince me he's worth that much? But I like what the Lakers have done. If the Lakers, and they probably will keep Austin Reeves, these are nice little moves, you know, that they've done here with Gabe Vincent coming in sort of as a Schroeder replacement. We see what they'll do with D'Angelo Russell, but Rui sticking around, I don't think is an overpay, especially as these numbers go up for what, $51 million he eventually got. They swapped in Prince for Troy Brown Jr. I think that's actually an upgrade. You know, I joked that they were sort of the same player, but I think Prince is better. It was a pretty good little day here. I mean, they're a team that couldn't like make a big splashy move, but I like the additions there. But overall, I'm not super upset with what a lot of these teams did. And that's probably because a lot of them just stayed with their team.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the big names. As exactly as we expected when we were talking on No Dunks all week long. We were like, yeah, there'll be like one or two guys that probably change. But even Kuz staying in Washington. All right, well, let's call it there. An hour and a half in. We've done a lot of podcasting today. We appreciate you joining us live here tonight on a Friday night. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. That's all we ask. It's not a lot. We're not asking for a three-year, $90 million deal. We're not asking for a two-year, $26 million deal with a player option in the second year. We're just asking for a fucking like. For maybe a subscription to our YouTube page. It's not a lot. It's a great deal. It's you know, basically the vet's minimum of requests. So help us out if can. We'd appreciate it. We will be back next week. We'll have a couple shows before we head to Las Vegas. If you're in Vegas for Summer League, come hang with us at the MGM Grand at the Sportsbook there on Saturday, July 8th at 4 p.m. local time. We will be in the building on Friday night for Wembanyama and his first game in Summer League with the Spurs. I think we're going to do a podcast live from there in the concourse a little bit later. So all you podcast listeners and everybody watching on YouTube, you'll be able to check that out. So yeah, Vegas, baby. Are you guys ready? You packed yet?
No.
No?
No. I got nothing packed. I'm looking at my floor, my packing staging area, and all I'm seeing is overalls. I can't wear overalls in Vegas if you're a Nicholas.
No. No, no, you pack shorts. You don't even, dare I say, don't even bring pants.
Oh, you're saying go Ellis mode? No pants? Straight shorts?
No pants for No Dunks, man. It's like 110, they're saying, I think, in Vegas. No, it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat. It's basically cold. It's basically cold, but
can't even feel it.
No, but, oh my God. It's gonna be a warm one, but I can't wait. So, anyway. Appreciate you guys joining us again. Clipper Bros, let's do it.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Oh, man. Thanks for joining us. And remember, his name's Dennis Schroeder. If only it was Dennis Shooter. But it ain't.
Embrace the weekend, people. Happy Canada Day.